choices that were made, it forces us to live a certain way, and then to make sure that we don't get flooded. So we're constantly doing a lot of restoration projects.
Can you describe how the river was flowing before the levees?
It moved. I mean, it basically stayed in the same place, but the end of it, because, I mean, you got this river, and it comes out like this, and it would just, it would move. The end of it would move. It would shift. You look at the Mississippi River, and there's headwaters that start, like, up Minnesota, and it comes down. You get to down by Memphis, and it's a trickle. You could walk over it. Oh, yeah. When you go to Memphis, go to Mud Island.
Yeah, yeah.
The river trickles through. And then it builds into this, which is so amazing to me. It builds into, but it's the force of the water that would make it move from time to time. Now, there's a whole lot of things that play into that force of water, you know, snow. It's because it's coming from the up north.
Yeah.
And besides that, now we deal with, so that was then, it would keep moving. Mm-hmm. We've put levees up to keep it going one way. So it's not putting sediment here and here and here and here like it used to. It's just one spot.
Can I show you one quick map, y'all? I'll research this map right quick. This is a map of how the Mississippi used to run different ways. Somebody took and studied how it used to go like a hose pipe. And this is how it used to go before they locked the levees, like Shelly's explaining.
So it used to flow all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. And that was unstable. That was unstable for your businessmen that work in the quarter.
I've been
and that's where they make all their money. Right.
I went to see the river on the Vicksburg, Mississippi side.
I sent it.
It was low.
Before.
It was really slow. Like, it did not move. It barely moved.
So this is
felt it was still water, but it was low.
But it's really weird when it gets like Arkansas, Tennessee, because you cross over a bridge and you go from Memphis to Arkansas.
That bridge crossed, right?
The Mississippi River.
I emailed it.
It's
a big bridge.
It's big and wide, just like it is for us.
Yeah.
But then if you go into Memphis and you just follow it, it goes down to
Vicksburg, it was super small.
Yeah.
Like,
that's amazing.
Exactly. That's what I say, too. Isn't it nature amazing how that works like that?
Wow.
Right.
Aaron wanted to ask a question.
Thank you for slowing me down.
Yes.
Aaron wanted to ask a question. When you hear the word wetland, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think of when you hear wetlands?
I think like water.
Yeah.
Well, tell me. Yeah. What do you think? What do you hear?
I hear...
what do you think of?
Grass or plant life on top of water.
Okay, what you think of?
Soft land.
Soft land.
Mm-hmm.
What you got? When I say wetlands, what come to mind?
The swamps and the marshes and the where the water is shallow, but there's plants growing.
Why not?
And so there's land and water together.
Where land intersects with the water. Okay. We got a lot of different. You know, the last class was trash. They thought of trash pollution. They came up with some really,
What we did to it, huh?
Right. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this was different. And it may have to do that y'all just came off the water.
Right.
You know? Right. Y'all just came off the water. Yeah. Y'all were just in it, looking at it. Yes. It was being interpreted while you all were out there. Yes. I'm sure you got a couple of pointers here and there. So you have a different aspect as opposed to the first group that was in a classroom.
Wow. I got you.
Okay. They may have a different opinion now.
That's a great observation.
That now that they've been out there and they've had the exposure. Because that's what I say. It's always about exposure and opportunity. You have the opportunity, you have the exposure. Once you have the exposure, then the knowledge just flows in. You know? But you got to be exposed to it first.
I read a while, years ago, and I'm wondering if it's changed, that Louisiana was like 30-something percent wetlands.
I don't know.
If you do all of the measurements for all the whole state, that were like 30-something percent wetlands. Is this...
That seems small, but
Seems like we would be more.
Seems like to me we would be more, but now that I think about it, like North Louisiana and all
like
that.
That's including the whole state.
Yeah,
that's
but I'm thinking about North Louisiana is not as wet. Mm-hmm. As we are here, but I mean, once you hit like Lafayette coming down, it's all mushy.
It's all wetlands.
Yeah, so I'd say about a third of the state, probably 30. That's not bad.
Last figure I remember is 38%.
That would okay. Yeah, so I can see that. I never really thought about it.
I'm
kind of worried about right here. I can't get out there yet. I'm kind of worried about here. And think about how we're surrounded by water. I mean, look at New Orleans. Look at New Orleans. Where can you guys go? How often do you cross water? Just in one day, how often you cross water?
At least
five times.
That's all? That's all?
About five times.
Okay. You're not going too far. Exactly. You ain't going
too far. He's a cyclist.
So what is the formal definition for wetland? What are the use of it?
So wetlands, when we have wetlands, they are like a sponge. Okay? So they're wet and they take it in and they're filters. Mm-hmm. Just like when Sage was talking about all the clams all along Lincoln Beach and Lake Pontchartrain, that's some of the cleanest water in the lake, because all those clams are filtering it. They're filter feeders. That's what they love. The marsh is a filter too. It's a sponge. It's like if you take and put a sponge on top of this cup, and you got all this stuff, and it filters through and it drains through, and then you come out with some clean water, and that goes back into the system. Because there's aquifers that run under there, and that water comes back into the system. You know, it's a whole cycle, that whole water cycle. It's a whole cycle. And actually, it start, you know, like when it rains and goes to the ground, and then it goes all the way back. It goes all the way around again. So the marsh serves as a filter for that water. It filters out good things and bad things. So now it's upon us not to have so many bad things that the marsh has to filter.
That's our choice. Theo chủ động ấy, thì trong ấy là kiểu Louisiana cũng là 39% là cái đất ướt thì cô nói không phải đất tức là đất mà mình không có xây nhà được ấy, đất ướt ấy, thì chú Hoa hỏi là cái đất ướt là như thế nào thì cô nói là cái đất ướt là cái đất mà trồng mấy cái cỏ lau này kia nói nhất thì mấy cái đấy nó cũng lọc nước, nó giúp cho lọc nước nhưng mà nó lọc nhưng mà có khi tốt thì xấu. Còn những cái vùng giống như ở cái hồ mà Lincoln Beach có mấy con ngao á, nó sống thì nó cái con này nó lọc nước cho thì nó rất là tốt. Còn nhưng mà cái vùng của mình thì bị cái đất nó ướt nhiều hơn là mấy cái vùng ở miền Bắc thì đất ướt ít. Yes, ma'am.
Could you mention aquifer? Can you explain what an aquifer is?
An aquifer is, it's a natural water source underground, basically. That's the easiest way to explain it. You know, the earth is not all compact, you know, like people think. There's spaces in between. And there's things that run through those spaces. Water happens to be one of them.
That's where the
aquifer
and all that comes from.
Yeah.
Evermore water.
Well, that's where they first started coming from. I don't know about that. That's just like Kentwood. You can tell me all that water came from a spring.
That spring ain't that big.
Right. It would take them a while to get all that water from a spring. Like, yeah, we're getting y'all a case. Hold on a second. Here's a bottle. You know, there's no way.
Rod, you had a point.
I just wanted to suggest, I'm trying to get something started, and I'm hoping I can get your participation. Is I heard you say Lincoln Beach.
Yes.
I'm trying to rename it Freedom Beach.
That's the main
event. Well, this is the...
Yeah, it's okay. Let's focus on this. Y'all saw me get started already. I'm talking about Lincoln Beach. Let's stay on this right now. Man. I just want to get the gate open. That's all. Let's just call it heaven on earth right now.
But we have a lot of challenges. Yeah, and a lot of man-made challenges. I mean, this is one right here. You see the train passing.
Yeah.
You know, imagine how this place would look. If the train tracks weren't there, without the disruption in water flow, migration, all that. So that's just one example. Is the train tracks. Another one is the levees. You know, yeah, that's how we have interrupted nature for our own benefit. You know, so I think it's incumbent upon us, since we messed it up.
Yeah.
We need to fix it. Yeah. Not everybody feels that way.
But how can we fix it?
Oh, different ways.
Is there an easy way to, like, know the difference between a swamp and a marsh and a wetland? Or maybe they're all, like, kind of the same words, meaning...
Okay. Joanne.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
What's the difference between a...
I got the chair right here for you.
We have a marsh.
A swamp has trees.
A wetland and a swamp. Oh.
Yeah, a swamp generally has trees. Are you sure, St. Michael?
Yeah.
You guys, this is Joanne. She's a refuge ranger with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you all. Yeah, so a wetland is a place that's wet for all or part of the year. And a marsh is typically kind of grassy, and a swamp typically has trees.
All right.
Okay. Okay. And how about?
Còn cái vùng đất ngập này ấy, thì nó có những cái cây cỏ nó mọc ở trên kia.
Send me one more time. A wetland has what now?
Water for all or part of the year.
A marsh has...
Is more grassy.
More grass.
Vegetation, and the swamp is more trees. So like cypress and...
Swamps and marshes, both wetlands then?
They are both wetlands.
Okay.
Oh, trivia question.
It feels like they just belong to each other too.
Right.
Wetlands, marsh.
You have you can have a transition area.
They become each other.
Yes.
Which is on the north shore,
you can go from
a swamp to a marsh.
To a wetland. Here we have mainly marshes and wetlands. And wetlands can dry up.
What kind of uses that wetland is for?
Well, wetlands are really important as for flood, water retention. They act like a sponge, and they absorb flood water, and they clean the water as well. So when you have urban water that filters into a wetland, the plants and the soil will filter the pollutants out of the water. So they're like a cleansing mechanism, and we call that an ecological service. That's a big word. But
okay, hold on. Yeah. Write it down right now. Ecological service.
Yeah, because they're filter feeders.
Yeah, so the
because they're filters. You're not necessarily
feeding.
Exactly, kind of, sort of. Because there are some nutrients.
Yeah.
They're more of a conduit.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they suck up the water. And they will hold whatever the roots are in the muck in the soil.
No, those things are horrible.
And then the decomposition will kind of break down some of those materials.
Hey, y'all, I love ecological service. Could we talk about a little bit how we could be give service to our ecological system? How can we be stewards of that? We learn a lot about, you know, like some purposes, some what it does. The other class talked about some man-made effects. What can we do to kind of preserve it and restore it? Any ideas? Little small thing. Not nothing big. Not creating a facility like this and
small things.
Put one finger up. Okay, I got one. You got one thing? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, through volunteering with CRCO, I've learned about oyster shells recycling. So putting them back into the water. Mm-hmm. Even if it's as small as keeping oyster shells in your front yard.
Okay.
Or making mulch with it.
Yeah.
And also dining from restaurants that actually recycle oyster shells as opposed to restaurants that just dump them. So restaurants that practice some responsibility or ecological service themselves.
We consume that culture. You volunteer. Right. Go ahead, Shelly.
And so I lived in Florida for a while. I was in the Panhandle. And it's mandatory for restaurants in Apalachicola. They have to recycle their shells. They bring them somewhere. And I worked, my office was kind of like this. We were up in the air. We had a view like that. And all I would see was barges passing by full of oyster shells. And then where they would put them back into the environment. And now, is it you guys that's working with the artificial
reef program?
The reefs. Is it CRCL?
Just volunteered with CRCL.
Okay. So. Well, there's someone that has now created out of cement, like this little thing that spats, which is a baby oyster.
Oh.
Spats could attach to. Mm. And it's these things they're putting, you know, out in the marsh.
Yeah.
Where, and then they could lift them up and look at them, see how they're doing, put them back down. It's pretty good. And I think shell oil is involved with that, too.
What's challenging with oyster shell recycling, though, is the material that you use to rebag oysters to go in the water.
Oh, is it plastic?
Plastic is the most economical option, unless you have a major grant to get, I think it's a bamboo material.
Oh, they could use burlap.
Yeah, we should tell
them. They could use burlap. Worked with glass half full. Because I keep wanting to say empty or full. I can't keep it straight. I think it's half full. Half full.
Yeah.
Okay. They're the optimistic ones. Okay, got it.
Let me say this right quick. So you volunteer. You mentioned policy, mandatory recycling of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so me, at my job, I can advocate for the policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You volunteer, and then on my job, I could go talk to city council. Can we get the restaurant association to support a policy on mandatory recycling of oyster shells?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we connect. I want to get some more people. When you small, what can you do? Type of thing. What can you do?
Can we think of ourselves as, instead of the land belonging to us, that we belong to the land, and at least at the very least, we belong to each other.
You have to change your mindset,
and
you have to start with kids.
Yeah.
And start, pick a generation and go with it and start teaching that way, and that's the only way you do it forward, and then they will grow up that way and they will automatically think that way. But if it's not in some sort of socialized environment, when I say socialism, people are against socialism. They don't realize the school system is socialism.
All that wordplay.
Yeah, a lot of wordplay. play. A lot of wordplay.
Really.
Your retirement checks, your social security checks, all that socialism. But we'll talk about that
later.
Right, another conversation for another time. But yeah, you have to instill it in them when they're young. And that's what we, that's one of our things. We start with fourth graders.
Oh, good.
All right, hold tight. Let it know about that.
Cô sẽ nói ở những cái vùng khác thì người ta recycle cái vỏ sò đấy, nhà hàng họ sẽ mua vỏ sò để người ta lấy công ra recycle, cô áo một cái thì cô nói là không có sản phẩm nhựa mà còn ở chú thì bảo là thay đổi cái cách suy nghĩ, tức là người ta có là thay đổi cái vỏ sò để cho người ta lấy những cái suy nghĩ tương lai đây mà thay đổi bây giờ của mình thì mình cũng ý ý
okay, wait.
Take a picture.
So that's really the I did the QR code. Okay.
Did it work?
Yes.
Okay. That's my new digital card.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's an app called Blink, B-L-I-N-Q. You could get it?
Yeah, I might get it.
It's B-L-I-N-Q, and you make up your card however you want to. And it's digital. You know?
Okay.
No more paper. It's everything.
So they said that we have to clean up around the house to keep the environment cleaner, so that may help to like everyone need to do that so that can change more. Like clean up the house around the house, the streets around the area that we live.
Yes, so thank you for that. Y'all, technical note, clean up the house, right? Sweep around. And what we have is, in New Orleans, we have over 60,000 storm drains on the street. All those storm drains, what we have is called outfall canals. This canal goes to the lake. This is Bayou St. John, natural, goes to the lake. And so we put the trash on the street.
Yeah.
Trash goes down the drain. It goes to the lake.
That's right.
And we can't. The oyster plastics going to clamshells, going in the oysters. We kill all the oysters. No more charbroil. No more that.
Yeah.
But last, talk about a little bit. We talk about the oysters, but unless we take care of that, we can't have the oysters coming out here. We can't go shrimping. So, Joanne, you want to talk about a little bit how important it serves as a hatchery?
Yeah. So you asked about, you know, what value do the wetlands have? So besides protecting us and cleaning the water, they are a nursery for the seafood that we eat. Blue crab, fish, they all spend part of their life cycle, if not all, in the marsh. Did you want to?
Dọn dẹp nhà cửa đường xá cho cái hệ thống ống nước của mình ấy, và nó đi thẳng ra cái hồ, thì ví dụ mình vớt những cái đồ nhựa này xuống cái ống nước thì nó chạy thẳng cái hồ là nó không hưởng tới môi trường, cho nên mình cũng cố gắng mấy cái cống ngoài đường ấy, nó không có bỏ. Rồi cái wetland cũng là để giúp con lọc nước, thì giống như mấy con sò này kia nó cần cái nước sạch để những cái vùng đất
sao được ngày
rác nữa. Cái này không có nói
cái
này
không có biết rồi, nhưng mà mình có thể nói là cái ngoài cái gì đó nó cũng về cái môi trường đúng không? Cái rác đấy là bình thường, cái nó chỗ nhà cô không sao.
Cái này người ta đâu nói về cái đâu, mình đâu nói về cái nó bị nước.
All right, thank you all. Listen, it is a little bit after 12:05. We want to let you all have the rest of your day, but last activity, the group went on to Waterloo Lake, and you see they out there going, so we're going to let them enjoy that. The last activity we have for you is to express yourselves through a haiku. And a haiku is a syllable, three-line phrase. Okay, to help me out. Is it five syllables for the...
Five, seven, five.
Yeah.
Five, seven, five. Seven, five.
Five.